This episode of TopCast is brought to you by UCF Online. 20-plus years of award-winning online excellence, 75-plus online programs, one of the largest and most innovative universities in the U.S., ucf.edu/online. From the University of Central Florida's Center for Distributed Learning, I'm Kelvin Thompson.
And I am Tom Cavanaugh.
And you, yes you, you're listening to TopCast, the Teaching Online podcast. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Kelvin.
How's it going today?
It is going well. We are once again recording in the morning. Which
I know, it's so weird.
It is. It is beverage appropriate for us. Sometimes we don't always
What do you mean by that?
I mean that usually you're bringing a thermos full of hot Joe for us to share.
In the afternoon or evening, what's wrong with that?
Oh, yeah. Well, for some of us, our heads buzz on the drive home.
And what's wrong with that? See, welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Beverage, you know, coffee's an anytime beverage, you know, that kind of thing. Well, for regular TopCast listeners, and hey, we hope that there are some.
That's right.
You may
my
know.
My mom.
That's right. Hi, Tom Swab. You may know that Tom says that I bring in a thematically selected coffee around which to have a conversation related to online education professionals. But in a tremendous reversal, in this episode, we're finally there. Tom's in charge of the coffee. So,
yes.
Tom, I can't wait to hear what you've brought in for us and why.
Yes, and a very special TopCast.
That's right.
Tom is responsible for the coffee. Yes, so... as I often do when I'm responsible for something,
yes.
I have delegated.
Yeah, I've experienced this
yes.
many, many times.
I know. but I've delegated for a reason, not mm-hmm. just because I, you know, didn't want to do it. I have asked you and
yes,
me
yes.
and two very special guests.
Oh, there they are.
We will meet in just a moment to bring their own coffee and our own coffee.
That's smart.
Yes.
I should do that.
Yeah. So we've each brought our own coffee
each
because
okay.
today's episode
yes.
is all about diversity.
Oh.
We are going to talk about diversity, the value of diversity, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. the challenges associated with diversity, and nothing epitomizes diversity more than four different cups of coffee.
Or something. I'm curious.
Or something, yeah.
That's right.
It doesn't necessarily have to be
so,
coffee.
So you want to introduce our guests, and then we'll find out what everybody's drinking? What do you think? How do you want to do this?
Yeah, let's do that, and then we'll go real quick. Well, actually, let's have, when they introduce themselves, tell us what they're drinking.
All right.
So let's start with Kiana Skipwith. And Kiana is Director of Online Experiential Learning Programs at Northeastern University in Boston. So Kiana, could you just sort of introduce yourself, tell us a little about your role, and what are you drinking?
Hello, everyone. It's so good to be on the show today. However, I am not a coffee person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge fan of herbal tea. So my beverage of choice today is an Artemisinin mint tea. And mint is supposed to be good for the digestive and immune system. And right now, it's doing a pretty good job in keeping me warm in Boston. So currently in my role as a director, I work with departments to formulate processes and evaluate practices that are vital to the successful creation, migration, and implementation of online courses. I do research, I make recommendations to implement innovative concepts for online learning practices. I work very closely in faculty development, as well as working with their departments to create systems that monitor student learning, engagement, and academic success. And prior to that, I was an instructional designer at Northeastern University, in which I was responsible for the design and development of graduate online courses.
Awesome. Thank you. Our other special guest is Lamont Eddins, who is an instructional designer for the Larry L. Lewing School of Business at Berklee College in New Jersey. And it's in Paramus, which is not far from where I spent half my childhood.
Wow. There we go.
So welcome, Lamont. What are you drinking?
Oh, yes. I'm not a coffee drinker. To be honest with you, I've never drank coffee in my life, so I can't tell you what it tastes like. But I am a juice guy, so I had some orange juice, and I try to drink as much water as possible. So now I'm actually have my water bottle next to me drinking water.
That is awesome. But we need to remedy that coffee thing. We're going to hook up somewhere, and we're going to fix this coffee thing.
If you've never tried it. I didn't start drinking coffee until I became a parent, and I needed to stay awake. That's a true story.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Well, that'll do it to you.
I was like 30
that
years
or
old.
Whiskey, one or the other.
Both, yeah. Sometimes at the same time. So awesome. Thank you both for being with us today. We are going to talk a little bit about diversity and just a little bit of background about how we made this connection. Last year at the EDUCAUSE annual meeting, I went to a roundtable discussion on the topic of diversity that Lamont happened to be facilitating. I thought it was a fascinating discussion, and thought that it was a topic that that was worth discussing. It was something that you and I have been talking about for a long time. And knowing the background of Lamont and his collaborators, one of whom is Kiana, fits right in our world of online learning. I thought it made sense to invite them on the show.
That's awesome. Yeah, and we have. We've been talking about this topic for a long time, so I'm glad that we're finally having this episode. So welcome, Kiana and Lamont. So maybe can we just start with this as just a way in? I mean, Tom, you and I have been talking about diversity for a while, but here's a broad question for everybody. So why should we even be talking about diversity among online education professionals?
Sure. I think diversity, especially in this time, this climate, it's just really important. I can speak from the professional development side in my role, where as a woman of color, it's good to have either sponsor or mentor, but most importantly, how diversity really speaks to the culture of online education. And with that, I'm thinking with the diverse population of our students, more working professionals, is that, you know, we have to really cater to their needs, their wants, and really their desires they want to accomplish in, you know, in their education endeavor. So we just have to be cognizant of what's going on. So I think it's a great topic to really dive into, because, you know, we're all different. We learn in different ways. So why not come together and really make a difference and impact on how we want to learn? What do you guys think?
Lamont, you want to add anything to that?
Sure. I second the notion of Kiana's statement. As a man of color, I think it's important to look at and see what's happening in our institutions. If you look at our faculty base and you look at the learners population, it's a very diverse population. So how do we ensure that we are meeting that diversity with the in terms of ensuring that we create, you know, high quality courses that fit the needs of not just the learners, but the faculty members as well. So again, this is a very crucial topic because, again, people are trying to, you know, further their education to better their lives. And what way to do that is through higher education. So it's a critical topic because you're always going to have diversity in higher education.
And I also think, too, that we want to be more inclusive now. So, you know, we want to look at the different stakeholders, the faculty, the student, and actually what is the institution doing to really build up diversity of issues.
The issue of inclusion is interesting. Kelvin and I have been talking about this, and our president here at the University of Central Florida talks, you know, he's made one of our goals of the university during his entire presidency, which is 25 years, one of them is to be more diverse and inclusive.
Right.
Too much coffee this morning.
Well, there it is.
And in the way he's described it is you can be diverse and everybody still not get along.
Yeah.
Right?
And,
That's true.
That's why diverse and inclusive kind of go hand in hand. And there is a lot of literature, and I believe, Kelvin, you're going to probably put some of these in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That state that empirically that the more diverse your teams are, the more productive they are, the better your outcomes,
absolutely,
the more creative you are. And that actually, Lamont, was a topic that was kind of explored in that roundtable that you facilitated.
Yeah, I agree to that. Just speaking on my experience, I know with my team is a very diverse team in terms of background, In terms of where you come from and your education. So I think it really helps out a lot, because what it does is it opens your mind to different things and different perspectives as to what's happening, particularly in, you know, online learning. So you try not to be closed-minded, but when you have a diverse group of people, it forces you to think outside the box, to be creative, to ensure that you're meeting the needs and even the wants for, this, like Kiana mentioned, the stakeholders, whether it's the learners, whether it's the faculty members, the deans, and so forth. So, you know, the more diverse you have, the variety you're going to have in terms of critical thinking and creativity.
You know, it's interesting. So there's a productivity quality argument to make in favor of having diverse teams, particularly we're talking specifically about online education, but it's broader than that. But I think, and then this is also broader, there's also kind of an aspirational aspect to it. After I went to that session last year at EDUCAUSE, I was talking to a colleague. We were sort of comparing notes on different sessions we went to, what we liked. And I mentioned the diversity session. She happens to be an African-American woman in a leadership position, kind of similar to ours. And she said she has very few people that she can kind of look at as examples like her. And it struck me that we should be maybe setting an example that there are opportunities in this space for everybody. Mm-hmm. And it extends down to students, too. Mm-hmm. I'll give one quick anecdote, and I think this is relevant to what you said, Kiana, about the kinds of courses that we're building for our students. I was talking to a math faculty here who built into our adaptive platform in one of her courses it kind of a random name generator in the word problems. And she used names that were not necessarily just, you know, like Tom, like mine. but she had sort of, you know, East Asian and Indian sort of names and all kinds of different names. And students were just sort of stunned that they saw names that looked like their family names when they went through the problem. And they were able to relate to it more, sort of anecdotal feedback. And I thought that was terrific.
Yeah, I think that's great, because I feel like the students can really identify themselves with actually the scenario or their learning the content or materials that are being presented. It puts that culture in it. Like, you know, my faculty cares about the experience I'm having. You know, the school cares about the experience I may be having. So make it more realistic. These are people I can identify with, and I think it kind of helps the learning experience as well.
Yeah, if I can belly off that as well, too, I think it also provides the learners with confidence where they're able to see somebody that is similar in terms of ethnicity or race or and so forth, so that, okay, if they see that person in a certain role, it gives them the sense of confidence saying, you know what, if they can do it, I can do it, because they come from a similar background as I do. So, and I think it helps the institution out in terms of knowing that if you are a certain type of person, whether you come from a certain culture, a certain religion, a certain country, that you will be comfortable and get the same opportunity as the next student or the next learner to succeed and do what it is that you want to do after college.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine that you know, I don't have evidence for this, but it just seems surface valid to me that outcomes are impacted by that. If you can relate to the question more, you're going to attend to it more and engage with it more and maybe do better on it.
No, you're completely right.
Can I just ask this? So this all makes sense to me, right? That we've got kind of these value claims that this empirical evidence that diversity teams are smarter, they are better problem solvers. We've got this assertion that, well, having a match between the faculty and the instructional designers, let's say, of especially online courses, having the demographics of those folks matching more of the profile of the student body, there's probably better cultural value assumptions that are built in. All that makes sense. How do we know how we're doing right now in online education? Like, I can look around our instructional design team and I can kind of think, okay, you know, what's the racial, ethnic, country of origin, religion, sexual orientation, if I know it? What I can kind of go through those kind of things and then say, well, what do I know about my institution and my way off? But what do we know data-wise in general in our online education field.
And I should say, just as you guys think about the answer to that question, that you both have been involved with the diversity constituent group within mm-hmm. EDUCAUSE, which was why mm-hmm. you were involved with that session. So you have a little bit of experience.
Yes.
You're sort of experts in yeah. this, mm-hmm. certainly more so than we are.
That's right.
So, what do you think?
In terms of evidence, there's a couple of things that I look at. I as an instructional designer, you do work with faculty, and you do have an opportunity to kind of see the class list and the different names, and the diversity that I see in the different names indicates to me that, okay, we do see a wide range of students of different backgrounds coming to institutions such as Northeastern or University of Central Florida or Berklee College that are looking to, further educate themselves. We need to ensure that we do create a diverse learning environment, because when you're in an online learning environment, you don't necessarily have the same opportunities to kind of quote-unquote wing it as if you were in an on-site classroom. Because, okay, in an on-site class, you come to class, you get to physically see your student body, and you see who's in the class, so you might be able to make adjustments based on what you see. But in an online learning environment, you're kind of assuming a person is from somewhere. So you have to assume that you're going to have a diverse population. So when you're creating a course, you want to take that into consideration. You're kind of like assuming that you're going to have a diverse population. So what are you going to do to ensure that the course is properly created so that you are prepared for that class to come in?
That's an interesting comment. Maybe I can just kind of pull on that thread a little bit. So I guess what you're saying is that online students tend to skew to be a more diverse population because of the reasons why they need to take online classes. Maybe a more non-traditional population, mm-hmm. more first generation.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting comment that I hadn't really thought mm-hmm. about before. Mm-hmm. And I think it also means that there's a greater responsibility on online learning professionals like us to be aware of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also wanted to include mentioning mm-hmm. within the online population, they're starting to be more non-traditional, as we just mentioned. And with that, we have to also think about here at Northeastern, we have a heavy population of international students. So we have to be and mm-hmm, stay abreast mm-hmm. of faculty and staff development about diversity, inclusion. In my role, I also, work with training programs of the institution of how can we really get these faculty, staff, and even managers mm-hmm. and leadership together and understand how important diversity is at the school. And we do this mostly through events, interacting with students, getting more involved in online webinars so that we can see what the students want, but also be able to train our faculty and staff to be more collaborative so that we can increase the recruitment and retention efforts of our students, because it's not just a conversation with HR, it's also mm-hmm. what are you doing in your department? How can we give back to the institution so that we can bring these students in and still have a great learning experience, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense?
Yeah, yeah. We've talked a lot about students, but I wonder if we could talk a little bit about the staff, about the online yeah. learning professionals. Mm-hmm. And, as Kelvin mentioned, we do periodically look at our staff mm-hmm. and just kind of check. It's not mm-hmm. like we have any particular percentage goals of anything, but if you're not aware, you're not aware, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
We do look at that periodically and just say, what is the constituency of our staff? And I have heard people who do kind of bemoan the state of diversity talk about, and I'm not even just talking about online learning, although I think it's true for online learning, but in higher mm-hmm. education in general, if you look at the faculty ranks, mm-hmm. that the faculty don't represent the same kind of mm-hmm. ratios as the student population mm-hmm. do, and you've mm-hmm. both already alluded to that. But some of the reason for that I've heard from deans and others is that there's a pipeline issue mm-hmm. and that the pool of really qualified or even interested mm-hmm. Population who kind of fit a diverse profile is small, and mm-hmm. there's more competition to hire those kinds of people. And I guess my question is that true? Do you think that's true? And if so, what can be done to help encourage
right.
more people to join us in this wonderful world of online learning?
I can speak on that. Working with the business faculty members here at Berklee College, I will say that we do have a somewhat diverse population in terms of faculty members who come from different walks of life, in terms of their education background, their upbringing, where they come from. So I know our school as a whole tries to look at, you know, ways of, I guess the lack of better words is to further populate faculty members, even staff, with a diverse or a well-rounded background so that they can relate to the learners. Because again, the faculty-student relationship is always gonna be the foundation of any institution. I think all of you can agree to that. So if you, you know, go out and you, you know, promote the idea of giving back to the people who wanna kind of be where you are, that can help with, you know, trying to bring in people who are willing and, you know, and able to provide the learners with high quality education.
And I also think that most faculty and staff, they're looking for institutions or organizations where they actually can build their professional networks. So maybe it can be as simple as just starting a conversation or a community of practice of what other people are doing at their institution and what worked, what didn't work, and how we can improve that. But I think it definitely starts with a conversation and how we can move from there and getting people who actually are interested in the idea to really speak out.
So we've got to be ever mindful, ever watchful, kind of check ourselves out constantly.
Well, that's how that's kind of how we ended up, you know, connecting with both of you, was through a conversation that happened at that conference. And it was a really interesting conversation.
It sounds like.
And with EDUCAUSE, what's great about it, they allow that to happen. Like, they have so many professional development opportunities where, you know, this particular diversity in IT group was started almost 5 years ago because they didn't have any diversity initiative. They didn't have a way, a platform to talk about diversity issues within EDUCAUSE. So starting this group has been really helpful within the organization, meeting you guys. And also, I wanted to point out with the professional development piece of it, within EDUCAUSE, they have so many opportunities where you can just be a volunteer on the program committee. So you can actually build up these leadership or developmental skills that you may have or may be interested in. So it's really kind of connecting with an organization that really stands within those values so that they can actually build in and implement those things that can possibly impact on diversity issues, changes, or even promote them, such as events like this, where we can talk about it, share ideas, and get it out into the world.
Yeah, I'll give a shout out for EDUCAUSE. I do think that they take this seriously. You know, we've both been really involved with them. And there was one time where I started on a program planning committee, and I believe they even did like ally training before the conference started for anybody who wanted to be a part of that.
Just awesome.
Absolutely.
I mean, to belly off of that as well, too, I know in our conversation at EDUCAUSE, one of the things that was a challenge for people was location. And I guess considering where the three of us, all of us are, being Orlando, Boston, and Paramus, the greater New York area, diversity is not necessarily an issue in terms of people, finding people, where in our conversation at EDUCAUSE in October, there were people who were not concerned, but they were just voicing their opinions about the location of where they are in terms of how do you get people of different backgrounds, different ethnicities, and different colors to come to certain locations. I know that that was a major challenge. I know there was some people who lived in areas that weren't necessarily overly populated. So how do you get people of different backgrounds to come move to those areas of the country so that they can, you know, further implement their initiative of, you know, greater diversity within their institution. So I know that that was a challenge for a lot of people at our session in October.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that is. It's not something you typically think about. And there's so much we could talk about with this topic, and maybe we need to revisit it at some point.
That's right. It is a good point. But we've laid a little bit of a foundation today, raising the issue. So appreciate Kiana and Lamont, you being here, joining us, sharing your expertise and a little bit of your personal experience as well. And I guess we'll maybe press pause on this topic for the moment, but hopefully not pressing pause on our awareness and our mindfulness in terms of our practice. So Tom, let me just ask you this. If this is kind of
before you do it, you know, neither you nor I shared our coffee diverse choices.
I'm drinking orange juice, buddy. I'm drinking.
Yeah, I feel shamed a little bit because you both had such healthy choices. But
what are you drinking, Tom?
I am drinking
he laughs.
A ginormous cup of Wawa coffee.
And when, and when he says drinking, he means that there's an IV in his arm.
Yeah, I poured it straight into my bloodstream.
Yeah, I've never seen a cup that big before,
it's
Tom.
It's pretty big, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you, I recognize that cup.
Yes, it's the same cup of coffee I always carry. No, this is a Starbucks Reserve specialty coffee. Cost me $49.95 this morning on the, on the way in. Yeah,
second mortgage.
That's right. From the Clover at one of these select Starbucks locations. But it's a it's an Ethiopian a copy of some variety that I think was like shiitake or something. Or is it, maybe that's a mushroom. I don't know. It's some, but it's good.
Okay.
It's a good coffee anyway. Yes. But as we wrap up here, maybe this is what we're saying. So you guys all see if this rings true, at least for this point in the conversation. So the field of online education is maybe not as diverse in its makeup as maybe some other parts of higher education. The student body, maybe even the faculty.
Certainly not as much as K-12.
Certainly not as much as K-12, I would agree with that. However, the evidence is seems to be clear that if we were to continue to innovate, and by golly, we've talked about in other episodes, we have to innovate, innovate or perish. If we're going to continue to innovate, if we're going to continue to work smarter, to perform well, then diversity in our teams and in our leadership is imperative. Would we agree with that?
Yeah, most definitely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, we'll leave it right there for right now. And again, thank you, Lamont and Kiana, for joining us. So for more on today's topic, and there's a lot there, please remember to check out our show notes. You'll find links to all kinds of supporting resources. You'll find those at topcast.online.ucf.edu. And, you know, we don't say this enough, but we'd love to hear what you think about the ideas that we discussed today. Maybe you agree. Maybe there's a nuance that you want to take issue with. Many communication venues are available on the Topcast website. Or we'd love, hey, let's be edgy with the technology. We'd love to have you use your smartphone to record a brief voice memo and email it to us at topcast@ucf.edu. We'd love to hear from you and continue the conversation between episodes, and maybe we'll have Lamont and or Kiana back another time to continue
on. And if you like this content, then maybe search us out and give us a review on your podcast finder of choice.
That's right.
iTunes or whatever.
Somewhere.
It definitely helps other people find this kind of content.
That's exactly right. So until next time, for Topcast, I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Tom.
See ya. Hey, before you go, we'd like to let you in on a super secret offer. We're trying out something new. Registered listeners. If you register as a listener, you'll get exclusive access to occasional online sessions with Tom or me, early access to episodes, a new and improved newsletter, and whatever else we can think up. Register now at bit.ly, that's bit.ly/topcastclub. That's topcastclub, all lowercase, no spaces. Check it out.